everybody. This is Tamika speaking. I know it's been a while since you've heard my voice. Been on a little bit of break. Waiting baby who has decided that he wants to make us wait, which is all good in the hood. Because in the meantime, while we're anxiously waiting baby's arrival, I have taken this time to catch up on more TV and movies than I have in a long time. So just bringing you a quick review. It's just me today, which is weird because I'm so used to Ty and Danny taking the lead on these things. But I have some good stuff for you guys today. I think this is just going to be a quick review. Some things that I've been watching. And I'm going to start with theatrical releases, and I'm going to finish with what is streaming. Three main things today. So let's just go ahead and dive right in. First movie on my list that had a theatrical release, I believe it was released on November 22nd, is Devotion, starring Jonathan Majors and Glenn Powell. Now, Jonathan Majors is a name we've mentioned many times before. You all might know him from Lovecraft Country if you caught that show on HBO Max. He's also been in the Netflix movie Harder They Fall. He's been in a ton of things. And 2023 is going to be his year. He's coming out with Creed 3 with Michael B. Jordan, which looks so dope. It looks even more dope every time I see the trailer. And then he's also making his comeback as Kang or Kong, I always forget how to pronounce it, in Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. So, another movie that never cared for Ant-Man, but, just because he's in it, and my husband said the same thing, he's like, now I have to see this movie because Jonathan Majors is in it. So all good things. And then Glenn Powell is not a name that I'm as familiar with. He was in, was it Top Gun Maverick? Which I never saw. But he's also been in, other movies as well. I'm not as familiar, but you might recognize his face, but he's definitely on my radar now after the performance that he gave in Devotion. So just right off the bat, I love movies like this. This is not, I guess a popular genre of movie. It's more of a historically based film. Devotion is, but what I love about movies like this is that it focuses on the unsung heroes, because many of us may know that, you know, the Black impact in American history is largely understated. You know, when we talk about civil rights and all those things, and the different challenges that have been faced throughout history in America, we often talk, focus on the main characters, right? Or I say that in quotations, main characters, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, you know, all the people, whose names we've heard. And even if we're not as familiar with what they've done, we know that we've heard their names. We know we've seen the movies. But I like movies like this because it sheds light again on those unsung heroes. So this movie, focuses on, again, Jonathan Majors plays, Jesse Brown, who was, my understanding, the first Black aviator in the Marines, Navy. I'm really bad at this. I should know this. but first Black aviator, I believe, that's Jesse Brown's character. And it largely occurs in 1950 during the Korean War. So they go and, they're basically on standby to help the boys on the ground, as needed, and help to, you know, take down things as necessary. I don't know the military jargon. It's a really good movie overall. Really enjoyed it. It is long, but it doesn't, to me, it didn't feel that long. So if you enjoy planes, or even if you don't, I think this is a great movie just to kind of, appreciate the art and skill that it takes to fly a plane. And the action scenes in this movie are amazing. Like, I was on the edge of my seat, just anticipating what was going to happen. And they really, the cinematography, in my opinion, is really great because it really puts you in the scene. Like, it makes you feel like you're in the plane, you know, guns are shooting at you, you're shooting at others, and, you know, you're trying to, I felt myself like dipping and dodging, sitting in a seat because, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. So, so action scenes were great. Of course, while we recognize them as action scenes, knowing it hits different because we know that stuff like this actually happens and has happened. And it's just, it was a very scary moments. So aside from the war aspect, it definitely puts you in the war, understanding, you know, some of the things that occurred during the war. But of course, it is largely focused around Jesse Brown, his struggles as an African-American male, you know, reaching new levels where African-American males or females haven't reached at that point, facing a lot of racism and different challenges and struggles as he's just trying to support his family, his wife and his daughter, and then continue to do what he loves, which is aviation. So another aspect I really loved about this movie is the dynamic you've seen between Jesse Brown and his wife. I think today, a lot of times, especially in, I'll say the Black community, something I've been witnessing a lot is this tension and or, you know, lack of communication that often occurs between men and women within our own community. I think sometimes we get lost in, you know, modern living, you know, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a man, and how we're supposed to treat each other. And I just loved, you know, we say hashtag Black love, but, you know, love is love at the end of the day. But what I really loved is just seeing a strong dynamic between Jesse Brown and his wife, who loves him and supports him, you know, and you know, he does all he can to support their family. And just the communication that they share with one another is really uplifting for me as a Black woman and being married and, you know, just, you know, wanting to establish certain aspects and dynamics within my own relationship. So I like that aspect. And me speaking as a woman, I don't know if anybody else is going to catch on to that, but that was my opinion. I thought even the relationship between Jesse Brown and his peers, he is the only Black man among his aviator peers. And they don't seem to necessarily in the movie, they don't, him amongst his immediate peers, they are a team, they are at war, they are brothers, aside from anything else. But of course, the outside world is not looking in and saying, oh, you guys are brothers because you are connected by, you know, the badge or you know, the seal. They still look and see Jesse Brown as a Black man. And isn't it difficult for you? Or isn't this, you know, it's been really hard for you to get where you are. And so I think in that aspect, I feel like it's really reflective of even today where you have, you know, a lot of advocates that are not of our culture or complexion, but they want to back and support us while also still overlooking some of the struggles that we experience on a daily basis. So as an example, without giving too much information, there is a scene where Powell's character Jesse Brown, there's a soldier, an army soldier that makes racial slurs towards Brown. And Powell's character, who is the white protagonist in this movie, he's trying to galvanize Brown at this point, trying to say, you know, you really got to defend yourself. Like, you should really say something. And it's just him not understanding because he's not in Brown's shoes, but Brown trying to convey to him that this is stuff that I deal with on a regular basis. And if I take the time and energy to try and fight every single person or every single time somebody has something to say to me because I'm a Black man where I am, I'm not going to get anywhere. And I think that even today, I think is still relevant because, you know, people try to put, you know, race and those things to the side and like, oh, we're all one people and we're all friends. And like, that might be the case. But the reality is there are still challenges that are faced in society. And in order to see me as a person and be my true advocate and be my true friend, you have to be able to see that and acknowledge that as well. So just various different aspects, that I liked about it. You know, it shows the, you know, devastation that's faced mentally, emotionally, and physical impact of war. I cried like a baby at the end of this movie, not just because of my you know, pregnant hormones, but because I thought, you know, I cried for the sacrifice of the men and women who serve this country or any country that they live, you know, regardless of where you stand politically. It says a lot for those that serve and sacrifice their lives, you know, to serve their country. And aside from that, I cried for the so many Black lives that have been lost in serving wars for a country that degraded and demoralized them. And if you don't know the story of Jesse Brown, it's written in history, so you're welcome to look it up. But he does pass away at the end, which with through all his struggles and everything he does to get where he is, just to serve his country and to be an American. And then, you know, his life is taken, but, you know, they do memorialize him for that. So anyway, all of that to say that it definitely is a really great movie. I definitely recommend it for anyone. I said it on my Facebook page. Yes, Wakanda Forever is a great movie. It's an action hero movie. It's, you know, Marvel. I love Marvel. Love the movies. But if you had to pick a 2-hour movie, which Black Panther is like almost 3 hours, and I think Devotion is about a little over 2 hours. So if you have to pick one, I'm going to choose Devotion only because it's based on actual history, and it's a very powerful movement for me. So the second movie I'm going to talk about, we're going to change gears a little bit, move away from the theatrical releases, move away from cinema, and talk about some of the things that are streaming. So if you have Disney Plus, you may or may not know that Disenchanted was released maybe a little over a week ago. Disenchanted is the sequel to Enchanted with Amy Adams, where she plays, she's a fictional princess-like character. She's basically like a mix of different, you're like your atypical princess who's damsel in distress and waiting for her prince to come save her, but then she is kicked out into the real world in New York, where she now has to face, you know, a world where there are no happy endings. So the first movie was extremely popular. I think it came out, oh my gosh, in like 2008, if you can believe it's been that long. I specifically remember being in high school when that movie came out. So, it came out in 2008. It was really popular. It was really funny, really unique, and just a movie that I overall enjoyed. And it's definitely still one of my favorite Disney movies. That being said, Disenchanted, which is the sequel, was quite disenchanting for me and entirely too long. Like, it was just too long. So, I believe, unfortunately, I did not enjoy this movie. I'm not going to say not to watch it. If you are a fan of the first movie, it might be worth a watch for you, just to say that you watched it. This movie gave me very much like Descendants vibes, if you're into that kind of thing. Now, I've never watched the Descendants movie. I'm basing it off of trailers that I've seen in little clips of kids dancing and that kind of thing. You know, the evil, the fake evil of it. It was not my cup of tea. It's probably not something that I'll watch willingly again. I do remember, I think I read somewhere that the original movie Enchanted was intended to be more musical, which in all honesty makes sense because they had Idina Menzel, who then never sings in a movie where there is singing. So I thought that was when the movie came out, I was like, oh, well, that's a little odd. But in reading that, it kind of makes sense that originally I think there was supposed to be more music, was supposed to be more of a musical, but then they came back. They cut it back a little bit for reasons I don't know. But this movie was definitely the opportunity for them to come back with this musical movement. And it was, to me, it was just too much. I feel like in the first movie, there was a purpose to each song. It was kind of making fun of itself in a way, but still enjoyable for younger audiences. In this movie, the music, even my husband watched it with me. And when I say he watched it, he was pretty much like on his phone or a Game Boy the entire time. But even he said, he was like, I feel like there's just, these songs are random. Like, they're just randomly placed And there, it's almost like people, somebody just wrote a list of songs and said, oh, this will fit here. So it just, it worked for if you have like young kids and, you know, they enjoy those movies. I think the plot itself was interesting. I felt like it was going one direction at one point and then it kind of turned and went a different direction. I was like, I feel like I could have written a better ending to it. That being said, I honestly don't even really remember. I just watched this maybe over a week ago, and I honestly don't even really remember much about what the plot was about outside of, Amy Adams, her character, has been living in the real world for a couple of years. She has a baby. Her stepdaughter, whose character's name is Morgan, is now a teenager, and they're facing their own issues with her being a teenager. And she's just unhappy because, you know, things are not magical, I guess. You know, real world problems, things are not going to be magical all the time. So then she tries to wish magic back, but then that ends up bringing the magic from Andalasia, which is her world, into the real world, and then it's killing Andalasia. Anyway, it's very taxing. So, all that being said, sure, watch it just to say you watched it. I'm a big fan of the cast. I really enjoy Amy Adams. I think she did what she could with what she was given, trying to maintain the original part she had in the first movie while also showing the evolution of this character, because she is in the real world. So she's a magical character and living in the real world, and just kind of meshing those two together. That being said, it's also been like over 10 years. Like, it's been what, 15 years? So, you know, people get older. That's, you know, a part of life. And I just feel like it gets annoying to me sometimes when we try to reach out to these people who've played these characters 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago. And we're like, hey, bring back the magic. It's not, in this case, it didn't work for me. So anyway, don't want to spend too much time on that. The last thing I want to talk about, if you're still holding on to your Netflix subscription, I definitely encourage you to try Wednesday. No, not the day of the week. Wednesday, the show based on the character from the Addams Family shows, movies, whatever. Even if you're not familiar with what the Addams Family is, you can still watch this show. And it's a great reintroduction for those who either have seen it but didn't care or have never seen it before in their lives. This is a great introduction back into the Addams Family world. Jenna Ortega plays Wednesday. She does an excellent, excellent job. So my only introduction to Wednesday, the character, was when Christina Ricci did it back in the 90s. And she did a great job for what it was at the time. And Christina Ricci does make her comeback in this movie, which I was so excited that she was back in this, it was not movie, but in the series. But Jenna Ortega does a great job. And I remember also reading somewhere that she was very intimidated by the role because she didn't want it to come across like she was just trying to play Christina Ricci's character. So, like, she really wanted to bring her own. And I think she did just that. I think she did an excellent job bringing this role to life. Now, the show itself, outside of the actors, you also have Catherine Zeta-Jones, who plays Morticia. You have Louis Guzman. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but he's been in a wide variety of movies as well. So you have some very popular actors. You also have a lot of new actors because these are very young characters that she's in school with. So basically, this show surrounds, again, Wednesday as the main character. She gets kicked out of her high school because she's Wednesday, and she does, if you don't know, she does a lot of antics. She's a very dark character, you know, very obsessed with death and dark things, but in a comedic way, if that even makes sense. So she basically plays a very cruel prank where she puts like piranhas in a pool that attacks some swimmers that were bullying her brother. So she essentially gets expelled. She gets kicked out from high school. So they say, okay, well, we're going to send you to this outcast school. It's a high school that is specifically made for special characters. And this is a school that her parents went to, and it has werewolves and sirens and vampires and gorgons and all types of characters. And they basically, it's called Nevermore, and it's a bunch of outcasts that go to this school. So now she's trying to find her place, in this new high school. And you know, she's very much a loner, but you know, developing relationships, friendships, all those things. And, the main plot as she's trying to, adjust to this new environment is, there's like a monster on the loose and some murders happening, and she has to solve, this mystery around Nevermore. And it's a very good mystery show. It definitely gave me like back in the day, like Scooby-Doo vibes, which is funny because they even make a reference to Velma and Scooby-Doo, as a joke at some point, which I thought was funny. But, the story itself is very well written, in my opinion. This is one of those shows that proves to me and shows me that yes, there can be originality, and yes, there can be good writing in these shows. I know Netflix shows, HBO shows, you know, Amazon Prime, a lot of these original shows sometimes are just lacking in their originality, in their plot skills, but this one was very well written in my opinion. There's nothing that occurs that is ever like a random plot point. So my fear in watching these shows a lot of times is you have a lot of like filler in episodes because they're trying to make, you know, 45 minutes to an hour episode, and because all the episodes have to connect, they just throw a lot of filler in there. You know, just to fill it up. But in this particular show, each episode is uniquely written and directed to highlight either character or relationship growth or even the main mystery of the entire show. You have some excellent direction in this show. One of them being Tim Burton, I believe, makes his appearance, which is not a surprise. And then there's also, I think there are several other directors that I'm not as familiar with, but I thought each episode was very well written, very well directed. It's a great mystery. I'm a big fan of whodunits, so for me, I try to figure out those things very early on. I think the show does a very good job in misdirecting you for a while. Because I was sure I had it figured out by like the sixth episode, and then I didn't. Eventually I figured it out. I saw what was happening, but still really fun to watch. It is comedic. just like random things that she says because she's so dark and she has really dark humor. It's hilarious. But yeah, overall a really good show. I definitely recommend it. I don't know if my podcast cohorts are going to talk about it any further, but I definitely recommend watching this show. It's only 8 episodes. I think each episode is about 45 minutes or something like that. So if you have time, I binge watched it because again, hey, I'm sitting around waiting for a baby to come. So I binge watched it. I cut it in like 2 days and was able to watch a couple episodes one day and then the rest of them. So, overall, super fun show. Yeah, and that's all I got for you guys. So hopefully I didn't take too much of your time, didn't talk too much, but I tend to do that. So I wish everyone a happy holiday. Hope everybody ate well over their Thanksgiving holiday. And for the holidays that are coming, if you don't hear from me, happy holidays. May you be blessed. May you be merry. No stress. Just bask in the blessing that is each day. So sending much love. Goodbye.